Oh, come on now. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You got to make some noise. Yeah. It's Baptism Sunday. That's something to really get excited about. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for coming, hanging out with us. For everyone watching online all over the world, thank you guys so much for tuning in. But listen, if you can get here to Moorhead, Kentucky, and get here to Bear Life Church, I'm telling you what, the Lord is moving in this place. Can I get an amen? He is moving in this place. And you know, before we jump into this message, I'm really excited about this today as we end this series, Built Strong. But here's something I know. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you would be here this morning. I don't know what brought you in here. I don't know what path you crossed to get you here this morning, but you were not here by mistake. God brought you here this morning. He knew you would be here this morning because He has a word for you. And if you would just open your heart and come expecting to hear God speak to you, I promise He will speak to you this morning. So let's ask God to open our hearts so that we could hear from Him, and then we'll jump into the Word. Come on, would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy, your favor. God, it's new every single day. Every single day. God, we have breath this morning, and your Word says, whatever has breath, give praise to you. And Father, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you, God, that lives will be changed today. God, I don't know what's on our heart. I don't know our circumstances. I don't even know what's on our minds. But just for the next few moments, would you just silence our hearts and silence our mind that we would focus on your Son, Jesus, that we will see your Son, Jesus. For if we will see Jesus this morning, we will not leave here for the same. For it's His name that we ask and we pray. Come on now. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Go ahead. Thank you, worship team. Go ahead and high five somebody beside you. Say, I'm glad you're here today. Go and give them a high five. I am glad you are here today. We're in this series called Built Strong. We finished today. In fact, this is a family series talking about how to be a strong family. And every strong family has to have a strong foundation. And I believe that a strong foundation in a strong family begins with a strong marriage. And if you're here this morning, whether your marriage is great or whether you're having some difficulties or some issues, I want to encourage you to go back and watch the first message because I gave some practical tips. It's not going to fix every single thing because you didn't get into your problems overnight. You're not going to get in over them overnight. But I gave you some practical advice or some steps you could take when it comes to your marriage. And then we talked about parenting, right? You never stop parenting. Whether your kid is 5-year-old or 55-year-old, you never stop parenting. We gave some practical advice on how to parent and some things. And I know that's difficult for a lot of situations. You got stepkids and stepdads and some of your grandparents, and you're trying to raise your grandkids, and there's all these different scenarios. But however, we just talked about some practical tips on some parenting from age 5 to 55 or all in between. Last week, we had fun, didn't we, dads? We gave away 2 grills. That was awesome. And we had some fat-free donuts. Can I get a witness? Come on now. No calories. If you can come up with fat-free donuts with no calories, please let me know. All right, I want to try those things out. We had a good time talking about how to become a strong dad. And as we finish this family series, we've addressed everyone in the family but the young people. And we've talked to everyone but the young people in the house. So today, my message is geared for the young people. Especially, man, if you're 25 years or younger, this message is for you. And I know what you're saying, some of you adults, well, I'm not that young. I wish I was that young again. Can I get a witness? But I'm not that young. But listen, I'm telling you what, this message applies to you as well. If you can just get these points I'm going to share with you, I'm telling you, it can change your life. So I want to speak to the young people today. I want to speak into your life. I believe I got a word for you that if you can just get this and grasp this, I'm telling you, it would change your life and you could change the world. In fact, the reality is this, you were created for significance. Out of 7 billion people on this playground that we call Earth, out of 7 billion people, there's no one like you, nor will there ever be anyone like you. The world sees you at a number, but Jesus knows you by name. And because He knows you by name, He has a purpose and a destiny for your life. And if you can get this and grasp this, I'm telling you, you can change the world. But the devil wants to come and he wants to lie to all of us, but he definitely wants to lie to our young people. And he wants to lie to them and tell them that you're not valuable, that you don't fit in. And because of that, they're always constantly comparing and evaluating themselves to other people. I mean, let's just walk through some of the things we judge ourselves. We judge ourselves based on our appearance. How do I look? right? Is this filter going to make me look better on Instagram? Can I, you know what I'm talking about, right? How do I look? And I judge myself based on how do I look. We judge ourselves based on affluence. What do I have? Do I have the latest things? Do I have what other people have? Well, I don't have what they have. So I judge myself based on the stuff that I have. We base ourselves on accomplishments. What did I do? Did I get that degree? Did I graduate with that? Did I get that job? Did I get that promotion? Did I, you know, whatever it may be. So I judge myself based on my accomplishments and my accolades and my appearance. But here's a big one. No matter, I don't care how old you are, we struggle with this one. Approval of other people. I base my worth. I base on what other people think about me. How popular am I? Do I fit in with the right crowd? And so when you look through affluence and appearances and accomplishments and approval, there's problems with these. Here's the problems. Beauty fades. Your possessions will wear out. Someone will supersede your success someday. And this one is going to shock you. I'm telling you what, this one's so profound, it's going to knock you down. You ready for this? Not everyone's going to like you. What? Not everyone likes me? No, not everyone is going to like you. Look at this verse Paul tells young Timothy. He says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers. Say all. All. You know what that is? That's the church. Young people are to be the example to every single believer on the planet. That's a high calling. You are to be an example to the whole entire church. And I love this. There's 5 points right here. I was going to preach this passage to the young people. I told Pastor Jacob, he better not steal this one because I'm going to pocket this one. This is good right here. He's already got you 5 points in one verse. Look what it says. I want you to be an example in what? In what you say, how you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. That'll preach right there. That'll preach right there. He says, you are to be an example to the whole church. Why? He says, don't let anyone think less of you. Why does Paul tell Timothy that? Why would Paul tell you that today? Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Let me tell you why. Because you matter. You matter to God. God, listen to me, young generation. God has put worth in you, destiny in you, purpose in you, creativity in you, and vision in you. And the devil knows that, and he's afraid of you. And let me tell you why the devil is afraid of the young generation. If you'll go study church history, every single great revival in the Bible and all the way through started with young people. It started with teenagers. Go study church revivals. It started when young people got together and repented of their sin, God moved. Let me go to make sure we're on the same page. There is no revival without repentance. Revival will not come until the people of God repent of their sin. And when the young people repent and turn to God, for some reason, God's spirit falls and revival sweeps the land. Go study it. And the devil knows that. That's why he lies to the next generation, because they have the power to change the world. And he knows that because here's the biggest lie he wants to tell. And I see it. He lies all the time, but this is one of the biggest lies he tells young people. You're worthless. You're worthless. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you're not worthless. You're worth it. You're worth it so much that Jesus died for you. You're worth it. You are valuable. And I don't know about you, but I want to see revival sweep this city. I want to see revival sweep this region. And if it's going to happen, it's going to begin with the young people who get before God and turn from their sin and cries out to him. I'm telling you, we can see revival sweep this land. And so what I want to do, I'm going to walk you through really quick. There's just three things I want to share with you, three truths. If you let this sink into your heart, it will change your life no matter what age you are. But you, listen, have the power to change the world. I'm telling you, if you get today, it can change the course of your life. The trajectory of your life can be altered on what you believe and receive this morning from the Word of God. So I'm going to encourage you to take notes. And this is why, because when you take notes, it's been shown that you'll retain it better. And as Pastor Jacob says, you get extra credit in heaven if you take notes. So I want you to take notes. You don't get extra credit. You get fat-free donuts. Can I get a witness, right? That will be awesome. You ready? Say, let's go. because we got communion and baptism. We're going to rock. It's going to be awesome today. Here it is, the first one. Very simple, very basic, but profound if you can let this sink in. You ready? God created me. Listen to me, young people. God created me. God created you. You need to get this. Now, you need to know this about your pastor. I'm a creationist. I believe that God created everything. If there's a creation, there must be a creator. And this is hard to fathom, but by faith, if you can get this and trust this, this is amazing. That before God ever created the universe, before he ever flung the stars and say, stop right there, you were on his mind. He knew everything about you. He knew everything about you. He knew when you would be born, the generation you'd be born, the haircut. He knew everything about you before he created anything. Now imagine that. You're living for approval of other people. You're living with accomplishments and accolades and all this stuff. Imagine getting up every single day of your life, rolling over, getting out of bed going, he made me. He created me. The world may see mistakes. People may think I'm a mistake, but God, you made me. I love this in Psalms 139. The Bible tells us this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mama's womb. While I was still just substance, God formed me and fashioned me and made me. Listen, I don't have a tattoo, but if I get one, I'm going to get one that says custom made. I'm custom made. I'm telling you, you are too. There's no one like you. And I know you don't like you. Some of you, you don't like you. You don't like how you look. You don't like who you are. Listen, God don't make a mistake. In fact, he says in Ephesians chapter 2, he makes masterpieces. And if you can get up every single day of your life going, I'm a masterpiece. I'm his workmanship. I am made in his image. He made me. There's never been one like me. There'll never be someone else like me. I am unique. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, that would change your life if you just got that part right there, that God created me and I'm not a mistake. Because some have been told your whole life you're a mistake. Someone has said something to you that you're a mistake. And I'm telling you, you'll carry those things in your life with you. But if we can roll over on a bed in the morning and go, man, I am not a mistake. I am a masterpiece. And my Heavenly Father created me just the way I am. Yes, I got issues. And yes, I got problems. And I still got this sinful, fleshy nature that, and the enemies against me. But guess what? He created me. I'm telling you, that would change your life. Here's the second thing. And I love this one. He picked me. God picked me. Are you kidding me? He picked me. Messed up, jacked up me. He picked me. Now, you know, right? Let's go to some of you don't, so you like sports. If you like sports and play sports, you know what it's like when you get picked, right? They're picking teams and they picked you and you get picked. You're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I got picked. Some of you didn't play sports, so maybe for you it was like, you got picked to go to the prom, right? You got picked for the dance. You got picked for, you know, the school clown. I don't know. You got picked, right, for the promotion. You got picked for the job. Out of all the applications, they picked you. Isn't it great when you get picked? Isn't it great to be wanted? Listen to what Jesus told his disciples in John 15. He said, you did not choose me. You didn't pick me. I picked you. I chose you and appointed you so that you would go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, we talk about fruit. We talk about fruit of the Spirit, right? That God picked me. He saved me. He appointed me to bear fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. God picked me to bear this fruit. And I preach this, and I'm going to preach it in here one day, but I preached this to our team members the very first night before we had our first service in this building. And I talked about that, listen, that we should bear fruit, that when people come, they will pick from our fruit. Listen, you bear fruit not for you. A fruit tree don't bear fruit for the tree. He bears fruit for others to come and pick. So when people start seeing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, when you're at school, when you're at home, when you're at Cracker Barrel and they forget to fill up your sweet tea, when they see that fruit from your life, it draws them to Jesus. And he said, I picked you. I chose you to go and bear fruit. I chose you to lead and advance my kingdom. I chose you to make a difference. I love this verse in Acts 13. Luke writes, he says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he died. He fell asleep. I love that. It says, when David did exactly everything that God wanted him to do, he died. But he did it within his own generation. See, some of you right now are listening to them as to how old you are. You're like, I don't even know what my purpose is. I don't even know if God wants to use me. Listen, if you have breath this morning, God wants to use you. He's not finished with you. You may feel like, hey, you know, I'm close to the end of my life. Now I'm in my 60s, my 70s, my 80s. Are you kidding me? God still has a purpose for you. He still wants to use you. He still picked you and created you and wants to use you. But here's something you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick the generation that you're born into. Do you know that? Before the foundation of the world, God picked the generation he wanted you born in. Y'all remember that, right? Some of you, he picked the 60s. Some of you, you've already, y'all don't even remember the 70s. Nobody remembers the 70s, right? And some of y'all got the 80s, big hair and all. Know what I'm saying? Come on, big hair. Bigger it is, the better it looks, right? And then the 90s. Listen, you don't get to pick the generation. On April the 26th, 1977, God said, I want this boy Daniel born and brought into this world. And I had no choice of that. Because he says, this is the generation that I want you to make a difference in. You can't even pick your family. It's like, can I get a mulligan? You know what I'm saying? Read it on that, right? You don't even get to pick your family. God says, I'm going to pick your family. I'm going to pick the generation. I'm going to pick the skin color. I'm going to pick the color of your hair. It may be red. It may be. Some of you don't even have hair. God picked that. You know what I'm saying? He picked it because you're custom made and he has a purpose for you. And if we can get this and understand that he created me and he picked me and he has a plan for me, I'm telling you what, we can change the world. He has a unique purpose for you and no one else can fulfill that purpose but you. No one is better at your destiny than you. And when you try to be someone you're not, you do a disservice to the people around you. In fact, I think that people are waiting, especially for this young generation, I think people are waiting for you to be obedient to what God's called you to do. I think this generation needs to step up and be obedient to the things that God has for them and what God wants them to do. We see this through the Bible. Remember, Daniel stood up and he said, no, here's what I'm going to eat. Here's what I'm going to drink. Inspired three other guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, we talked about this. And now they stand before King Nebuchadnezzar. And because of them, guess what happened? God breaks out throughout the land because a bunch of young boys stood up. Remember David, a teenager, stands up to Goliath. And because of that, all the Israelites go and fight the Philistines because of one courageous teenage boy. You remember this girl named Mary? God finds favor on this teenage girl and said, you know what? I'm gonna pick you. You don't even have a choice. I'm gonna pick you to usher in the Messiah. See, God has a purpose, a unique purpose for your life, and we've got to tap into what that is. In fact, I think that God wants to introduce you to the potential that you have this morning. You might say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Let's go back to Moses. Remember Moses? He goes, listen, Moses, go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, I can't preach. Moses looks at God, who made him, who created his mouth, and said, I have a stuttering problem. I can't speak. And God says, listen, let me introduce you to the man you're going to be. I will be your mouthpiece. I will be your message. I will speak through you. You go. Gideon is scared to death, hiding in a wine press. Gideon says, I'm the least in my family. I'm the weakest in my clan. And he says, I'm scared to death. And what does Jesus say to him? He goes, let me introduce you to yourself, Gideon. You're not a man who's scared. You're a mighty warrior. You're a man of valor. Paul, God, you can't use me. I'm a persecutor of the church. He said, are you kidding me? You're going to be a preacher to the Gentiles. Let me introduce you to the preacher you're going to become. And because he brought the gospel message, we get it today. You remember Peter? He stands before Jesus and says, get away from me. I'm a sinner. I am rotten. And Jesus says, you're not rotten. You're a rock. And I'm going to use you to build my church. See, I think some of you need to be introduced to the potential that's within you, that God can use you to change a city, that changes a region, that changes a world. And listen to me, it starts with young people. It starts with them. You see, the world needs you, and God wants you. Why not you? Who else is going to reach your friends? Why not you? Who else is going to change the world? And I know what you're thinking, Pastor, why such urgency? Because you've been told your whole life, you're the church of tomorrow. You are not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And God wants to use you today to be an example to the church. You don't have to wait till you graduate high school. You don't have to wait till you graduate college to make a difference. Tomorrow is not your time. Today is your time. Do something great today. And you say, Pastor, why are you so passionate about this? Because, listen, without young people, the church is dead. You show me a church with no young people, I'll show you a church that's dying. That's why we fight hard to stay young here at Better Life Church. One, because we want to. You know what I'm saying? We try to stay young as we can. I'm just kidding. We fight hard to stay young. And listen to me, older generation, quit fighting against them and start fighting for them. Listen, it's so easy to sit back and talk about my preference and my song and my structure and what I want. It's just like parenting. Parenting's just not about now. It's for the generations to come. Listen, we don't need to be scared of this generation. We don't need to be fighting this generation. We need to be funding this generation. Because when we fund it, I'm telling you, listen, when this generation would repent of their sin and turn their face to God, revival will sweep across the land. Everybody's wanting revival. It only begins with repentance. And maybe it starts with the older generation repenting because we're afraid of the younger generation because they don't do it the way we do it. And God's like, whoa, I don't have time for your preference, man. I want to bring my spirit. I want to bring revival. And if that's going to happen, you ready for this? Things have to change. That's what repentance means. Change. I change my mind. I change the way I think. That changes my heart. That changes my actions. And the reason we don't see revival is because there's people just like the spies who didn't want to go into the land. I don't want change. And I'm telling you what, young people, listen to me. We're going to fight hard to stay young and fund this and believe this because there's going to come a day that you're going to continue on and we want to hand this mantle off to you guys. And here at Better Life Church, it is our mission to help you follow Jesus so you can experience an abundant life, a full life, a better life than you've ever imagined. And let me tell you what, and our youth program and our kids program, we're going to do everything, parents, to help your kid fall in love with Jesus and fall in love in church. We have, listen, one of the greatest child directors and awesome, I can't even get it out, youth pastor on the planet. And parents, you got to do everything you can to get your kids here, especially in our youth program as well, because Pastor Jacob speaks life and encouragement into them and builds them up when it's such a negative world tears them down. Where else would you want them to be? Well, I just don't want to make my kid go to church, Pastor, because I just want to scare them. I don't want to scare them away. Where are you going to scare them to? Hell number two. Where are you going to scare them to? Say, no, I brought you in this role, hon. You're going. Get them in a place where they can hear about Jesus and how much he loves them. I'm telling you what, this generation has the potential to change the world. And then here's my last and third one. And this one's so simple, but one of the biggest ones, whether you're young or old, struggle with. And that's God loves me. That God loves me. I know he saved me. I know Jesus came and died for me. But man, there's times I don't feel like he loves me. Because I know what I've done. I know what I've said. I know where I've been. And you love me? This is the biggest struggle for most people. Could you imagine getting up every single day of your life, rolling out of bed, God, you created me, and I'm not a mistake. You picked me for a purpose to fulfill today, because I'm only promised today. And you love me. All this accomplishments and accolades and approval just falls to the wayside because he created me. He picked me. He picked me. And he loves me. The Bible said even when I was a sinner, he still died for me. And I think this was one of the bigger ones that the enemy wants to lie to us. Because most people hold their head down and they don't feel like God loves them. In fact, they feel like God's mad at them. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have tried that. I shouldn't have said that at work. I shouldn't have did that. Oh, God's so mad at me. And the truth is, he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And he pursues you all the days of your life. And if I could get up, I'm telling you what, probably looking back right now, most of my problems would be fixed if I could just grasp the reality how much he loves me. That he loves me. Look here, John 3:16. For God so loved, he gave. He was generous. See, we don't think about God being generous. You kidding me? He gave his son for you. That whoever believes shall not die, shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. And the kicker in that verse is the word believe. Do you really believe that he created you? Do you really believe he picked you? Do you really believe that he loves you? See, the Bible says, even the demons believe. Even the devil believes. But they don't have the right belief. What's the right belief? See, the devil believes intellectually. He saw it. He was there. Saw him die, and he saw him get up. The demons believe intellectually. And you may be here this morning or watching online, and you believe Jesus intellectually. But do you believe him intimately? That he changes your life. See, that word believe means this. I believe something with so much passion and so much conviction that it alters and changes my life. So if I say I believe in Jesus and I haven't changed, then I've got the wrong belief. And I think one of the biggest lies that the enemy throws out to young people especially, do you know that most people become a believer before the age of 18? The greatest mission field is those who are 18 and younger. Because most people become a believer before the age of 18. You know one of the biggest lies that I believe that he tells young people? It's actually found in our core verse here at Better Life Church. Some of you wonder, why do you call your church Better Life Church? Well, here, let me show you. Right here. Look at this verse, John 10:10. The enemy comes. Look what he comes to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan hates you. He wants to destroy your marriage, your purity, your testimony, your relationship, your finances, your career, everything. He hates you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I've come. That you can have real life. You don't have to have a fake life. You can be real. You can have eternal life. It lasts forever because you were created forever. You can have more life. And then look here. A better life than you've ever dreamed of. And see, this is why I believe the devil flips the script on this. He tells young people, no, God comes to steal, kill, and destroy your fun. And if you give your life to Jesus, then you can't have fun. So here's the lie from the devil. If you follow Jesus, you'll have less fun. But here's the truth from God. If you follow Jesus, you'll be more fulfilled. Because the things you're trying to find fulfillment in, it can only be found in Jesus. And if you'll get that and grasp that, I'm telling you, it will change the trajectory of your life. He created you. He picked you. And he loves you. I'm going to ask people to bow your heads. What has the Lord spoken to you this morning? You are not here by accident. There was something in that message He wants you to know. Because His word does not return void. Maybe for you, it's just to realize that He loves me and He wants a relationship with me. You know, just in a moment, we're going to take communion. And communion signifies that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and His return. That we celebrate His death, burial, and resurrection, and we celebrate He's coming back. So if you're here this morning and you're just seeking God and you're not a Christian or you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus, but you're here, like I'm seeking, you keep seeking and you keep coming because God's going to show Himself to you. He says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. But the Bible is clear that communion is for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. So if that's not you, listen, we are glad you're here. Just let the bowl pass by just in a moment. You keep coming back. But as a pastor and as an evangelist, I got to give you an opportunity to respond. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you get to celebrate communion with us. In fact, take it the next step further. You go get baptized. We're ready for you. I say this every week. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to pray with me. Saying a prayer will not save you. Checking a box will not save you. Walking an aisle will not save you. But if your heart declares Jesus Christ is Lord, your lips can proclaim Him. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And if that's you, just like this morning, we already have someone give their life to Jesus, you can pray with me and to say, Jesus, I need you. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you got up out of the grave for me. And right now, as best as I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I am turning from my sin and I'm turning towards you. Now help me live the rest of my life for you. If that's you, I want to celebrate with you and pray for you just like we did in the first service this morning. If that's you, I want you to say, Pastor, I just prayed with you. Get your hand up. Come on, get your hand up. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I just prayed with you. Come on. Anybody else? Awesome. Awesome. Listen to me, young people. God's waiting on you to be obedient. Step out by faith. Repent of your sin and turn your face to Him. And I'm telling you what, God will use you as a catalyst to sweep this region with revival. I believe it. I feel it in my bones, but it begins with you. Quit backing down what people think about you at school, what people say about you. Are you kidding me? You are custom made. He created you. He picked you. He chose you. He loves you and wants to use you. So I'm going to ask you if you'll stand up to your feet and let's just pray and ask God to do something great in this generation. God, we love you. We declare in this place that you would love us. God, move mightily. Move like we've never seen you move before. Use this generation to change the world. Come on, Jesus. It's in your name we ask and pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.